When we think of a kid, we imagine someone witty, fun, and pure. We never consider anything horrible. Children, however, are committing crimes at a higher and higher rate. You would be shocked to learn that a seemingly pleasant youngster could be capable of performing unimaginable things that will make your skin crawl even years later. I'm your host, MC, and this is episode 38 of the MC Horror Podcast. Some stories are so creepy that even if you didn't directly experience them, they still manage to haunt you when you're alone at night. This story my mom told me is one of them. For the sake of this story, I'll call her Jill. I need you to imagine for a moment that we are about 30 years in the past when this story took place in a typical American suburban neighborhood. Picture it in your mind. The houses were closely built, so there were narrow passageways between each one. At this moment in time, it was very quiet around 2 a.m. The air was eerily still. Other than a few flickering light posts along Jill's street, there wasn't a lot of activity. Yet, Jill was single, living alone. She was letting her dog out on an extendable leash in her backyard to do his business. It just so happens that she had been interrupted mid-sleep cycle by her whining pup. So she obliged with crusty eyes and was barely conscious. Her dog was a fluffy chow chow named Rupert. He trotted to the end of the yard towards That's when Jill thought she may have been half dreaming because she saw the figure of a little boy standing, staring. He looked to be about 7 years old, wearing this long white nightshirt that draped to his calves. It was something reminiscent of a hospital gown. He looked almost like a ghost at first. Jill rubbed her eyes and looked again to make sure she wasn't seeing things, but the boy was still there, his dark brown hair disheveled. He looked very pale looking with purple shadows under a pair of very glazed eyes. Something jarred Jill's instincts when she saw those eyes. She considered that the boy looked strikingly similar to the character Damien from the movie The Omen, which kind of freaked her out, especially given that it was 2 in the morning when she last checked the clock. The boy had an arm extended towards Rupert. At first, Jill assumed innocent intentions. She thought, yeah, it is weird that this kid is out in the middle of the night, but at the same time, he just kind of looked to be petting Rupert, who had taken a seat next to him. Rupert was a very trusting dog who'd go up to just about anybody and sit by their feet. Though the outdoor light was turned on, she hadn't fully registered the object that the kid held in his hand because he was standing partially in darkness. It took a moment for her eyes to adjust before she noticed that he was gripping the handle of an 8-inch chef's knife. Rupert obviously didn't detect the danger, but he was bobbing his head up and down a little while flinching. That's when she saw that the boy was slowly, rhythmically tapping his head with the point of the knife. Clearly, Rupert wasn't hurt because he was still sitting there, letting the boy continue tapping, but Jill was understandably freaked out by this. "Rupert, come," she called to him. She wanted to get her dog inside as fast as possible, but something told her she shouldn't react in a way that might stir the boy. See, he was staring with this clouded look like he was somewhere else in his mind, potentially sleepwalking or something. She worried that if she shouted at him to stop, or if she screamed, he would wake up from his reverie and do something even worse with the knife. "Rupert, come here, boy," she spoke softly again. She tugged on the leash to pull him to her. Rupert complied after a couple of tugs. Once he was safely inside, she immediately closed the door behind him and locked it. It was one of those glass-style doors, so she could see when the boy silently approached it and tried to trigger the handle to follow Rupert inside. After a failed attempt to come inside, he started tapping the point of the knife against the glass in the same slow, repetitive motion that he was using when he tapped Rupert's head. He continued to have that glazed look on his face, his expression void of life. Jill was quietly watching in fearful silence, still trying to register what was happening. After a short moment, the boy stopped trying Jill's door and walked over to the next door neighbor's house where an older lady lived. Because there were no backyard fences, Jill saw as the boy staggered slowly to the back door of the woman's house, and she could actually hear him joystling the handle, making an effort to break in. "Oh my gosh, what if my neighbor opens her back door to this kid?" Jill thought. Panic raced through her. She dialed the police and explained the situation. "There's a little boy outside. He has a knife. He is alone. There are no adults around. He's just out alone."
"Are you safe?"
the operator asks. "Yeah, I'm in my house." The operator informed her that police were on their way. The sound of a car pulling up to her other neighbor's front driveway grabbed her attention. She felt obligated to warn her arriving neighbor about the boy running loose around the neighborhood wielding a knife. She ran out her front door and anxiously greeted the man, who was a pretty big dude, tall and muscular. Part of her was concerned for his personal safety, but another part of her felt some relief, like maybe he could help overpower the boy and take the knife away from him. The man looked at her, seeming a bit confused about why he was being approached outside the house this late. Jill was trying to reason in her mind about what she was going to say to him. It was hard for her to form words. She was, after all, still having trouble comprehending it herself. "Watch out for this kid?" The words sounded kind of silly in her head. Hey, be careful. There's a little boy with a..." But before she could finish her sentence, the little boy appeared around the corner, emerging from the dark passageway between their two homes. She gasped, the panic suddenly in her throat. "The kid! The kid! The kid!" she screamed. But it was too late. The boy immediately started lunging after them. He still looked somewhat unaware as he maneuvered, his eyes glazed over yet intent as he thrust the knife in heavy but silent stabbing motions. He looked very possessed-like. "What the crap?" the man shouted, dodging the child's blow. "Whose freaking kid is this?" Jill and her neighbor swiveled around the car, using it as a protective barrier to put space in between them and the boy. Jill noticed as the knife glistened in the glowing light of the street lamps. It was exactly like some scene in a horror movie. She couldn't believe this was actually happening outside of a film set. "Is he yours?" the man asked her, his voice raised in anger and fear. "No." Their exchange was torn a lot between "be careful," "ah," and "whose kid is this?" They were terrified, screaming as the boy chased the two around the car. They kept running from his stabbing attempts in a mad frenzy. The boy's movements were very sporadic and unpredictable. He moved sluggishly, but would suddenly jolt in quick bursts of short movements. "Oh my gosh!" Jill screamed when he would suddenly dash for seconds at a time without any warning. In a bold maneuver, the man made a swift motion towards the attacker, lifting his leg to try to kick the knife out of the boy's grip. He did this a few times, taking steps back to dodge each blow in between kicks. He was a big dude, but even still, he was grunting under his breath, struggling to find the right pattern in the boy's attacks to kick him without getting stabbed. Jill didn't see or hear the knife drop at all during this struggle. She used the earliest opportunity while the boy was distracted to run quickly back to her house. From there, she saw through the window as her neighbor abandoned his attempt. Adrenaline must have taken over him because he leaped over the top of his car like some sort of stuntman from an action movie. He then sprinted to the front door of his house to safety. While peering out through her window, a chill ran down Jill's spine when she suddenly realized that she couldn't see the boy anymore. The kid had vanished. Sometime in the scuffle of running, screaming, and watching her neighbor, she'd lost sight of the boy and his knife. This was more terrifying to her than when she had eyes on him and knew where he was. Jill suddenly felt so on edge that any light tapping noise made her jolt. She squealed at the slightest sound, even the low thudding of Rupert's paws against her tile kitchen floor. Soon, even the sound of her own breathing was enough to startle her. It was the longest, most intense moment of her life. Tears flowed in a stream down her face. When she finally saw a police car pull up in front of her house, she felt safe enough to cautiously walk outside to greet the officer. She waved to him, and the man in uniform looked at her questioningly. "I'm the one who called," she told him. "What are we looking for?" "A little boy." "What does he look like?" he asked. He's about 3.5 feet tall, I think." She was still grappling with what had happened. She was still partially in shock while trying to describe him, saying, "He looks like a little doll, wearing, like, a long white shirt. He has dark hair." "Do you know where he lives?" the officer questioned. No, I don't, and I think there's something wrong with him." "Okay, ma'am, stay inside your house. We'll go look for him," he said. Jill was frozen in her house for a while. She couldn't relax, still insanely freaked out by what had just transpired. She tried her best to remain calm, but this felt almost impossible. The image of the boy's dark eyes and that glazed stare and the slow motion of his moments flicked through her mind. The hair on her arms raised. When she spotted the cops again, she quickly ran outside to ask if they'd found him. "Yeah, we got him. It's fine. He's back with his parents now. Don't worry," they said. "Is he going to do this again, or?" She felt she needed to know. "He's a bit challenged," was all the officer would say. Maybe he didn't want to disclose too much information about a minor, but in a lot of ways, this was frustrating to Jill, who had a lot of questions racing through her mind. Who was this kid? Was he sleepwalking? Why did his parents let him leave in the middle of the night like that? Why did he have access to their kitchenware? She also wondered things like, does he do this a lot? Where does he live so I know where to look out? What if my elderly neighbor's back door had been unlocked when the boy tried the handle? Needless to say, there were a lot of unanswered questions, but the only response she was given was, "He's home now. Everything is safe." Jill ended up moving to a new neighborhood within a year after this event took place. She had a difficult time living in fear and anticipation of whether something like this would happen again. When my mom, Jill, told me this story years later as an adult, it really freaked me out, and honestly, it still does. Whenever I find myself walking along the sidewalk at night in my suburb, especially if I'm alone, I imagine some little kid randomly peering at me from a dark passage between two houses with a knife in hand. If you or anyone you know have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. There are also links to the music used, as well as if you want to submit some feedback to help improve your listening experience. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out the MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.